Good morning. In the name of, Jesus Christ, the Word of God. In the name of Jesus Christ, and on behalf of the First Congregational Church of Natick, it's my honor and blessing to welcome you all here this morning. We are an open and affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ and believe strongly that whoever you are and wherever you are on life's journey, you're welcome here. I would like to extend a special welcome to Ned's fan club and all the people he brought with him. You'll see, I'm going to do this out of order, but you see Marilyn sitting over there at the table in the parade ground. Please, anybody, young or old, feel free to join her. As usual, there are a bunch of announcements. We're going to light the candle soon, and so those at home, if you'd like to join with us in that, please get a candle so that you can. Prayer requests for this morning can be sent to prayers@firstchurchnatick.org, and they will get to me. There are white index cards in the pews upon which you can write them and give them to an usher, and they will be brought to me, or you could text it to my cell phone, 978-790-8250. And as I said, Marilyn, I'm sure, I hope, will welcome others to sit at her table in the parade ground. You'll see prayer stations with candles around them in the sanctuary. Each one corresponds to a scripture lesson, an encounter of somebody with Jesus, which are the scripture lessons we're looking at through the season of Lent. Please feel free to come anytime to spend some time with them. And even during worship, feel free to walk over and avail yourself of them. Family game event is next Sunday at 2. Next Saturday, it says Sunday. Anyway, it's next Saturday at 2 o'clock. Everybody's invited to join playing games with the Faith Formation team. Bring your favorite board game or play with one that someone else provides. There'll be snacks and drinks and lots of laughs. Contact Sarah Lynn so she knows how many people are coming. We will receive new members into the congregation next Sunday. So if you would like to become a member, or you think you're a member but you're not quite sure, please let me know and we can talk about that. There will be a West Virginia Work Camp information meeting next Sunday at 12:30, next Sunday the 19th, downstairs in the vestry. High school youth and adults are welcome to hear about this transformative service experience. Jeff will lead or participate in a Guatemala partnership report back. It will be by Zoom on March 26th, and if you'd like to be part of that, see Jeff, and he can make sure you have that information. There, we got it in. Some of you know, and some of you have heard me say this before, that I serve as the chaplain to Lunenburg Fire Department. I've gone to fire scenes often. There's always an ambulance there. And I can't tell you how devastating it is to see the ambulance pull away from the scene and a hearse back up. Every single time that's happened in my presence, it's because the smoke detectors weren't working. So please use today as a reminder to change the batteries in your smoke detectors. I'd like to share with you now a reading from the Psalms from Wilda Gaffney's translation. It's she who wrote a woman's lectionary for the church. Happy is the woman or man whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered, and whose spirit there is no deceit. While I kept silence, my bones wasted away, and in my groaning all the day. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me, my strength melted away, as by the heat of summer. My sin I made known to you, and my iniquity did not hide. I said, I will make known my transgressions to the gracious one. And you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Therefore, let all who are faithful offer prayer to you, who are found at such time, for a rush of mighty waters shall not touch them. You are a hiding place for me. You keep me from distress. You surround me with cries of deliverance. In the scripture lesson that we will hear Jeanette proclaim in just a few minutes, Jesus says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. An African proverb shares this wisdom. I close my eyes so I can see. I close my eyes so I can see. It's the light that we see when our eyes are closed that we're called to share with others. May it be so.
Please join me in the responsive call to worship. Jesus, light of the world, give us eyes to see you as you see. Once we lived in darkness, but now, as a child of light, we are called to what is good and right and true. Jesus, light of the world, give us eyes to see as you see. Please rise in body or spirit for hymn number 401, Amazing Grace.
Thank you.
Please be seated. And please join me in the opening prayer as we say together, Holy God, why is it that we look but do not see? Bring us again and again in your light until your ways become visible to us and bear fruit in us. Touch us so that we are utterly changed, so you may also say, one thing I do know, that I was blind and now I see. God, we believe, help our unbelief. In Christ's light we pray. Amen. As we join in our call to confession, as children of God's light, we are called to do what is pleasing to God, to participate in what is good and right and true, and expose what is unfruitful and evil. God does not punish our sins with trials, but desires our genuine contrition. And so we bring our confession to God so that what is hidden in us becomes visible, and the shadows of our hearts may be illumined by grace. Let us confess our sin, first in silence and then together. Healing God of majesty and glory, we are thirsty for your grace. You made a way for us in the wilderness, and still, in our foolishness, we go astray. We hide our eyes from your presence. We do not listen to your word. We are lifeless when we ought to dance, and speechless when we ought to sing. Forgive us, O God. Speak peace to our fearful hearts. Strengthen our weak hands and make firm our feeble knees. We seek to follow in your holy way. Amen. Now, return to God with joy and gladness. Sing a song of redemption. Let sorrow and sighing be no more. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven.
Just before we get to the official part of the baptism, I just want to show you the fruits of David Coulter's recent labors.
Wow.
Isn't that beautiful? You've got it all clean. Well. Friends, hear the promises of God to Sarah and Abraham. God said, I'll multiply you as much as sands on the seashore and stars in the heaven. With the people of Israel, we give thanks to God for the gift of Ned. There he is. God creates all things. All life is a gift from God. And for this, we give thanks. We give special thanks for children who remind us powerfully and personally of the reality of God's creating and creative powers. Children are a sign of God's creation, and this congregation loves having them here in the presence. Kids are also a sign of God's salvation. The trust of a child before all risk leads us in the way of God. Isaiah writes, the wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid and the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them. Jesus came into our midst as a child, and we are to come to Jesus with the openness of children. Only then may we have hope of entering the realm of God. Jesus said, "Who is my mother? And who are my siblings?" And stretching his hands out towards the disciples, Jesus said, "Here are my brothers and sisters and siblings. For whoever does the will of God is my brother, my sister, my mother, my sibling." This part of the service offers thanks to God for God's creation and in the hope of God's salvation. We give thanks to our creating God for the gift of all children and for the gift of Ned this morning. And so, members of Christ's family, I present to you Edward O'Brien Richardson. Ned, will you bring people up with you? His parents, Eileen Kehoe and David Richardson, and his godparents. This is going to be a tough one. Ned's godparents, Molly Kehoe and Daniel Richardson. Hi, Ned. Yeah, it's hard. Join your hearts with mine in prayer, please. Oh God, like a mother who comforts her children, you strengthen us in our solitude, you sustain us and provide for us. We come before you with gratitude for the gift of Ned, for the joy which has come into this family, and for the grace with which you surround them and all of us. As a father cares for her children, his children, so continually look on us with compassion and goodness. Pour out your spirit. Enable your servants to abound in love and establish our homes in holiness through Jesus Christ. Amen. Hey, Ned, you don't need to go over there, okay? You don't need to. It's okay. We can all move over there.
Okay.
If that's what you would like to do, let's go over there. Okay? We could draw. Is that okay? And I forget your animal's name. Let's go over there, Ned, where things are quieter. Okay? We're not supposed to stand in the way of Ned. Eileen and David, in accepting Ned as a gift from God, do you also acknowledge your faith in Jesus Christ and the responsibility that God places upon you? Do you acknowledge that Ned is a gift from the hand of our loving Creator? Do you accept the obligation which is yours to love and nurture him and to lead him to Christian faith by teaching and example? Do you acknowledge a need for the power of the Holy Spirit and the support of the church, your families and friends, so that you may be a good steward of this gift of life?
Yes.
Daniel and Molly, there's this old Jewish proverb that's very cool. In time of travail, go to the friend of your father. Go to the friend of your mother. And it's from that wisdom that the idea of godparents came into being. They're special people who dedicate themselves to watching out for the welfare of others. It's a noble and loving tradition to which you commit yourself this day. And our complex world, it's not possible for even the most loving and capable parents to raise a child alone. If our children are to become loving and independent adults, they need the wisdom, counsel, love, and support of many adult friends. You have been asked by the parents of Ned to accept a special honor and responsibility. Do you then, to the best of your abilities, covenant to supplement the care and love of Aileen and David, both in the day-to-day development of Ned, and especially in the event of any extraordinary need. Would you please rise in body or spirit? Good job, Marilyn. Do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? Do you covenant to nurture Ned, his parents and godparents in the Christian faith and life, and include them in your care?
We do.
Please be seated. Let's sing together about God's promises to Ned and to all of us. Okay. Would you join your hearts with mine in prayer for a moment? Loving God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, we ask you to bless this water. Let it be a sign of life, of new life, and your love for Ned this morning. Amen. Hey, Ned. I'll show you. What is the name of this kid? What's his middle name? If this will work, why don't the four of you come around and put your hand on Ned in some fashion, if it will work? Here, see, Ned, it's water. Do you want to stick your hand in there? It's nice and warm. So, Edward O'Brien, we baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Edward O'Brien, child of God, disciple of Christ, and member of the Church Universal, thanks be to God. Amen. That wasn't too bad, was it? I won't put it in your eyes. That would be bad. Would you please rise in body or spirit and welcome Ned into the family of faith?
Ned, we welcome you into the family of faith. God grant you strength for life's journey, joy in your faith, the freedom of love, and the hope of new life in Jesus Christ, who makes us one.
Will you pray with me?
Gracious
God, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, out of the treasures of your love, strengthen us through your Spirit. Help us joyfully to nurture Ned within your church. Bring him by grace from baptism, that Christ may dwell in his heart through faith. Give power to him and to us, that with all your people, we may grasp the breadth and length, the height and depth of Christ's love. Enable us to know this love, though it is beyond knowledge, and be filled with your own fullness through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
Let's take a moment to share the peace of Christ with one another. this where I say the kids can go to Godly Play and Connect? The kids can go to Godly Play and Connect. When we make an offering to God, it's an act of worship. When we make an offering to God, it doesn't matter which one of our storehouses that offering comes from, it's an act of worship. Remembering that, let us continue to worship God with our offerings. I'm supposed to say, you may place it in the plate that the ushers will bring around. You may mail it to the church, or you may give on firstchurchnatick.org. Would you please rise in body or spirit? Let's pray together. In gratitude, O God, we come to your table, into your presence, into your house, for all that you have done for us, most especially for the gift of Jesus, we offer our thanks and praise. We long to live as children of the light, doing what is pleasing to you, and bearing the fruit of the light, through Jesus Christ, who opens the eyes of the blind and makes the lame to leap. In his name we pray. Amen. Please be seated.
The Christian scripture comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 9, verses 1 through 41. As he walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which meant sent. Then he went and washed and came back, able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, is this not the man who used to sit and beg? Some were saying, it is he. Others were saying, no, but it's someone like him. He kept saying, I am the man. But they kept asking him, then how were your eyes opened? He answered, the man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, go to Siloam and wash. Then I went and washed and received my sight. They said to him, where is he? He said, I do not know. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now, it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes, and then the Pharisees also began to ask him how he had received his sight. He said to them, he put mud on my eyes, then I washed, and now I see. Some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath. But others said, how can a man who is a sinner perform such signs? And they were divided. So again they said to the blind man, what do you say about him? It was your eyes he opened. He said, he is a prophet. The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then does he now see? His parents answered, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but we do not know how it is that now he sees, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to be the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, he is of our age. Ask him. So, for the second time, they called the man who had been blind, and they said to him, give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered, I do not know whether he is a sinner. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see. They said to him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered them, I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples? Then they reviled him, saying, you are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from. The man answered, here is an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but he does listen to one who worships him and obeys his will. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. They answered him, you were born entirely in sins, and you are trying to teach us. And they drove him out. Jesus heard that they had driven him out. And when he found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? He answered, and who is he, sir? Tell me, so that I may believe in him. Jesus said to him, you have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he. He said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. Jesus said, I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind. Some of the Pharisees heard him say this and said to him, surely we are not blind, are we? Jesus said to them, if you were blind,
you would not have sinned. But now that you say, we see, your sin remains. Here ends our reading.
We don't see the world as it is. We see the world as we are, wrote Anais Nin. We don't see the world as it is. We see the world as we are. Implicit bias. Implicit bias. Scientific American. When's the last time a stereotype popped into your mind? If you're like most people, it happens all the time. That doesn't make you a racist or sexist or whateverist. It means your brain is noticing patterns and making generalizations. But the same thought processes that make people smart can also make them biased. This tendency for stereotype-confirming thoughts to pass spontaneously through our minds is what psychologists call implicit bias. It sets us up to overgeneralize, sometimes leading to discrimination, even when people feel they are being fair. Everyone has biases. It's true. Having a bias doesn't make you a bad person. However, and not every bias is negative or hurtful. It's not recognizing the bias that can lead to bad decisions at work, in life, and in relationships. Although people have both explicit and implicit biases, the implicit ones are the most concerning because we don't recognize their existence in our hearts and minds and souls, and they impact every decision we make every single day. Two weeks ago, while on vacation in Maine, I met my sister for breakfast at some out-of-the-way greasy spoon that smelled faintly of bacon and greatly of old used cooking oil. You get it. I don't know if it was providence or serendipity or fate or the Holy Spirit or something, but Anne and I were chatting, and in walks a group of 10 to 12 firefighters. As is the case with so many departments, there was only one woman in the bunch. After they got settled and placed their orders, I skibbled over to them with my Lunenburg fire hat on, of course, and introduced myself, waded through the requisite social pleasantries, and said that I was desperately, desperately searching for a fire department t-shirt. You see, they've become the mainstay of our oldest daughter Maddie's wardrobe. Her birthday was coming up, and I couldn't find one anywhere in the great state of Maine, no matter how many departments I stopped at. As soon as I shared my plight, the woman spoke up with a big, broad smile on her face, waving her hand in the air, and said quite proudly and jovially, "Come see me after breakfast. I can hook you up." I was very thankful. Without one single solitary ounce of conscious thought. Not one, I thought. Well, of course, she's the department admin. They always have custody of everything good, including the t-shirts. It was only then that I saw her sweatshirt embroidered with her name, and underneath it, Chief of Department. I once was blind, but now I see. We don't see the world as it is. We see it as we are. Implicit bias. Jesus comes across this blind guy, a beggar, who was blind since birth. After Jesus says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And then he spits in the dirt and makes mud. And he spreads it all over the man's eyes. Gross. Blah, blah, blah. The man was once blind, but now he sees the folks milling about say to him, how was it your eyes were opened? He replied, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see. John wraps up the story by having Jesus say to the Pharisees, I came into this world for judgment so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind. Suddenly, we realize that Jesus isn't teaching about a literal blindness, but something within each of us that prevents us from seeing things as they really are, from seeing things the way God created them. Clearly, neither John nor Jesus, he was writing about, knew that phrase, implicit bias. But that's what's being raised up in our lesson this morning. Something within each one of us that prevents us from seeing the world as it really is. And it's some culturally imposed spiritual blindness, like the one that prevented me from even thinking that that woman could be the chief of department. That culturally imposed spiritual blindness that's within each one of us. It was the Pharisees' inability to see Jesus who for who he really was that Jesus is talking about here. Maybe he was talking about us too. Implicit bias. It affects everything we do every minute of every day. It affects every one of our decisions and relationships. It's the engine that drives sexism and racism, and heterosexism, ableism, and all the other isms, because it prevents us from seeing the world as it is and keeps us locked away in the prison of seeing the world as we are. It would behoove all of us, of course, to recognize that it's implicit bias. It's implicit bias that is the glazier of glass ceilings. It's the Pied Piper of unemployment lines. The Sharpie of redlining. And any other metaphor you can come up with. It affects hiring so directly, that the United Church of Christ has been thinking about its effects on the search and call process, the process by which churches call their pastors. It's the process being used by this church's search team. It's implicit bias that led the United Church of Christ to produce this video, which is only one in a series. Watch.
how normal it is in this society to harbor bias. Because it is normal, it is necessary to acknowledge that bias exists before we can work on it. A not uncommon story of pastoral leaders begins with a minister who was a person of color, called to serve a primarily white congregation. This was a time of great rejoicing, but it was also a time of complexity. One third of the congregation were so excited because now they had called a minister of color. They could at last get started on addressing issues of racism within and outside of the congregation. One third of the congregation was equally delighted because the call of a minister of color had finally proved to them that they were not, in fact, racist. The remaining third of the congregation was concerned that all the minister was going to talk about were issues of race and racism every Sunday. Added to this, some carried fear of change and asked their new minister not to bring in new people or new culture different from their own. The congregation didn't know where they were on matters of race and racism, so they burdened their minister with their work while perceiving her as a single-issue minister. The minister now faced all types of microaggressions at the same time trying to create a pastoral relationship where she could be her authentic self. It benefits congregations to stretch and move toward the gifts and skills that someone new offers. Every minister has a unique calling. Ministers of all races at different times engage particular issues, have particular outreach, and cultivate unique strategies for personal resilience as well. Leaders of color stretch and move between all races, following God's call to justice and wholeness. What perceptions are you holding? Are they justified? Through grace and discipleship, people within the church will embrace their pastor's gifts at different moments and at different levels of comfort and discomfort. Resources of support for your congregation exist, including further materials from the United Church of Christ. Pastoral search committees are encouraged to commit to prayer and discernment and expand the pool of candidates for serious consideration during the interview process. Growth can come to a congregation that combats stereotypes with the help of God. Spiritual growth can come from surprising sources. Now is a time to acknowledge how bias is normalized in society and to identify faithful commitments toward justice for all God's people. On your search committee, yours is a sacred opportunity for discernment as part of the people of God. Your opportunities as a faith community go beyond how the minister might be the same as or different from you. Leadership is complex and profound, involving movement and relationship, invitation, communication and constant mutual learning. The most important question is, how can the congregation and the minister join together to let the love of God flow?
See, they didn't call her for who she was and what her gifts were, or even a feeling of call by God. They called her to reinforce their own sense of who they thought they were. When our eyes are open, we see things in new ways. When our eyes are opened, truths, sometimes hard truths, come into focus. When our eyes are opened, we are given the opportunity to live a richer and fuller life. When Jesus wipes mud across our eyes, it might sting a little, it might sting a lot, but that restored vision is not only worth it, it'll restore our vision to what God, our Creator, would have it be, and yet be one more step on the journey towards ushering in the realm of God. Here's mud in your eye. As we enter this time of prayer, I ask that you hold all the people and situations listed on the prayer list on your heart. I want to check to see if any have come in. Joys, concerns, celebrations, prayer requests that members of the congregation might have and want held. Pam? A celebration of Women's Month and Women's Day, which is March 8th. International. Jeanette.
Prayers of healing for our friend John, who's dealing with ongoing, young man dealing with ongoing severe heart.
For Don, who's dealing with severe heart issues.
Continued prayers for Lorraine as she heals her hip.
Is that what caused the fall? The hip? Others. Randall?
For our brothers and all who are searching for work,
for a friend and others who are searching for work and prayers that they might find the right match. Sarah Lynn. A celebration for the four young men that went to City Reach over the weekend, and a celebration of their ministry and coming into their own, and a celebration of the ministry of this congregation, supporting them and forming them. Janet.
And celebration for those who took those young men.
Yes, a celebration for those who had the patience to take them. Others. Would you please then join your hearts with mine as we pray in the words of Ted Loader? O persistent God, deliver me from assuming your mercy is gentle. Pressure me that I may grow more human, not through the lessening of my struggles, but through an expansion of them that will undam me and unbury my gifts. Deepen my hurt until I learn to share it and myself openly and my needs honestly. Sharpen my fears until I name them and release the power I have locked in them and they in me. Accentuate my confusion until I shed those grandiose expectations that divert me from the small glad gifts of the now and the here and the me. Expose my shame where it shivers, crouched behind the curtains of propriety, until I can laugh at last through my common frailties and failures, laugh my way toward becoming whole. Deliver me from just going through the motions and wasting everything I have, which is today, a chance, a choice, my creativity, your call. O persistent God, let how much it all matters pry me off dead center. So if I am moved inside to tears or sighs or screams or smiles or dreams, they will be real. And I will be in touch with who I am and who you are and who my sisters and brothers and siblings are. O God, we pray these things as Jesus, our brother, teacher, and guide, would have us. Our divine parent, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Would you please rise in body or spirit for our final hymn, Be Thou My Vision. And now, as we leave this holy place, may we all pray that God is our vision, and we see as God does, and as you leave, may you love God so much that you love nothing else too much, and may you fear God enough that you fear nothing else at all. Go in peace. Amen. Please be seated.